Seven Figures Nation, welcome to another episode of the Seven Figures Club podcast. And today's guest, Ruth Klein, is going to provide you with tools, tactics, and actual strategies to help you to generate seven figures in annual cash flow within your business. And she is an expert who has accomplished much as an entrepreneur. She is known on TikTok as the motivation guru. She is referred to by her clients as their fairy godmother. She's a brand 360 strategist. What's really impressive is she is a seven-time best-selling author of seven books. With a successful career that spans 30 years, she's helped her clients create a 360 brand and convert their expertise and content into high-ticket clients and programs, earning founders hundreds of millions of dollars. She works with high achievers, entrepreneurs, coaches, sales professionals, company founders. She is very good at helping entrepreneurs with time management, and she helps her clients write best-selling nonfiction books so that they can take their business expertise and brand to the next level. Well, Ruth, welcome to the show. There are over 32 million businesses in the U.S., and over 90% of them will never break seven figures in annual sales. So how do we as entrepreneurs or aspiring entrepreneurs break into that seven figures club? This podcast will relentlessly share the secrets, strategies, and tactics I've used to create three multi-seven figures businesses and bring in even more successful entrepreneurs than me to share their inspirational stories and tactics to success. You can create your dream business in life right now. So buckle up and let's go.
Thanks. It's great to be here, Leo. Really great to be here.
It is. And I know that you and I had been trying to get our schedules to work and technology was working against us. So like I was telling you earlier, everybody, you're going to want to listen up. This is going to be one of the best episodes we've ever had. And Ruth has so much expertise and experience that she's going to drop some value bombs. Let's start first off with your background, Ruth. What were some of the key events? And obviously you have a lot of experience as an entrepreneur, as an author, but what ultimately do you think led you towards entrepreneurship? What was that path like for you?
Well, both my parents were entrepreneurs flexibility is really important to me. Time freedom is really important to me. Being able to be my own boss, because I'm really good with my time. I'm really focused. I'm productive. And quite honestly, I am not employable because I don't need someone to look at their watch, right? To look at their watch and say, I'm 2 minutes late. No, thank you. And so I knew this at a really young age that I was just going to go into my own business. And that's what I did. And I am grateful I did that. And, you know, as any entrepreneur, our business tends to mature as we mature, change as we change. And so, I started working as a consultant for AT&T, and then I started doing all their training. I was basically their training department on performance appraisals and communication. And it's funny, they used to call it the soft skills. Well, those soft skills make everything work. And time management and things of that sort. So that's how I got started, and I loved it, and I loved how I could get paid well, work not a whole lot, and have the freedom of time to do what I wanted to do and raise a beautiful family. So it worked beautifully. It continues to work beautifully.
That's awesome. The first thing that caught my attention, I'm not employable, and that's me too. Like you, not employable. I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs, we are sometimes round pegs trying to be squeezed into a square hole, and it just isn't always a good fit. And we're looking for freedom. And I think most of the surveys show, you know, at a deep level, searching for that freedom is what they're looking for. And it's freedom to deliver value. It's freedom to work, you know, on your own terms when you want to, and really have a greater, higher purpose. And one of the topics that you're an absolute expert in is understanding how to activate a genius zone. And for some of our, you know, small business owners, side hustlers out there who are listening to the show, they have an idea of what that genius zone is, but they aren't sure where to go or how to identify it, and maybe even how to monetize it. What does that look like for you and your experience? And how does one activate that genius zone?
Yes. So that's a great question. It's a big question. So I'll tear it apart as much as I can, unpack it a bit. We all have a genius zone. And for those of us who work in that genius zone, things come a lot easier. Time goes by quicker. And it's easier to monetize because you love it. You're good at it. You know, chances are if you're good at something, you're going to spend more time at it. If you're not good at it, you're going to go, you're going to quit. So for those that side hustles or small business, even large business for that, it's about identifying what you loved to do when you were younger. So I loved to talk. I would talk and, you know, in my sleep, I would walk and talk. I loved to talk. I would talk to anybody. And I got in trouble for that. I would always ask questions. And you know, I've had clients who, for example, there's a gal who is excellent in entertainment. And she was in acting a little bit, but she helped actors. And now she didn't know what to do. She was working for a company, receiving $70,000 a year. She was let go. She didn't know what to do. She had not learned how to convert because she had this, you know, 9-to-5 job. And we went to her genius zone. And so she is now helping. She's helping children and teens with their acting. And these are children and teens that have certain issues. And she's able to have a beautiful career around it. She speaks on it. She's written books on it. I have another client who was in business with someone, and she's very organized. She's an introvert. And so try and get her to go out and speak is not going to be, it's going to be a deal breaker. So her genius zone, she loves to tinker. She loves to learn digital apps and things of that sort. So we help direct her into being a virtual assistant where she works with startup businesses. She's doing exceedingly well. She has a team working for her now. And so what are the things that you really enjoy doing, you love doing, and you're good at? And it doesn't take, you don't feel that it's like, oh man, I'm just spinning my wheels. I just don't know what to do. So we all have that. It's a matter of finding out what it is. Even there's a gal who is a client who works in a 9-to-5 corporate position. And she wanted to know in this case, if she should write a book, and it has nothing to do with what her work is in the corporate level. And I said, absolutely, because you're going to get visible. You're going to get known. You're going to get seen. And that's exactly what happened. So now we're starting a side hustle for her. We're helping her start a side hustle, what her book was about. So there's just so many moving parts, but it's all exciting. It's all exciting and very real.
Outstanding. Just so many different value bombs there, but finding something that you like, that you enjoy, that you have a passion for, but that you're also good at it. And I think that's the key differentiator. And sometimes, you know, there's an argument between, oh, do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life. And then other people say, well, you can do that, but you got to make sure it's actually something you're good at, that you can actually monetize, et cetera, et cetera. And so I feel like you dropped a lot of different value bombs of identifying that. And the interesting thing is sometimes it's that thing that you are, you know, just doing without even thinking about, that you just really love and you're passionate, you're deep, and you become an expert at it. And one of the examples I'll give is when fantasy football came out, you had guys who just had their regular 9-to-5 jobs, but they went all in with fantasy football, and then they started to become experts at it and how to win at it and how to, you know, do really well with it. And because of that, they were actually able to build businesses centered around that entire subject. And there are a lot of different examples of this. There was a couple who lost their jobs and they realized they had been building these off-road vehicles by hand, and people loved them. And they would just ask them, friends and family, hey, can you build one for me? And when they lost their jobs, this became a new business because they had this passion. They were good at it. And those are great examples for everybody to understand. But in order to make these things happen, there are two things that you preach that they have to understand in order to succeed. There is a mindset that they need to have as they go into launching a business and building it. We have those who are in the startup phase and those who have been at it for a while in entrepreneurship and probably some side hustlers that are kind of halfway in, halfway out. But there's a skill set and a mindset that you have to be able to work on both. And there might be a few avenues that they're missing there. So when you work with someone, how do you help them make up for where they might be lacking with a mindset, with some limiting beliefs, and then a skill set where they might have expertise in a certain topic, but the actual business skill set of building the business, that could be a different thing.
Right, exactly. So I just want to comment, almost anything someone really is good at, they can monetize it. They may not know how to monetize it, but they can monetize it. And almost always make a phenomenal business out of it. So I just wanted to say that too. So here's the deal. With entrepreneurs and professionals, there's usually a gap. If you're finding that your bank account is not what you truly believe it should be, then you know that this is the gap. One is mindset, one is skill set. In between there is the gap. So it's the entrepreneur's responsibility to find out, what is it? Is it the limiting beliefs, or is it because you may not know exactly how to do it, or you've given up too soon, or you just needs to be tweaked, or you're following somebody else and you're not following what feels right to you? Or are you an introvert or an extrovert? What marketing strategies would be good for you? It's not necessarily what someone else is doing. So in that gap, I do what I call audits. I do brand and marketing audits. And so I can check out someone's brand, I can check out someone's marketing, and then I chat with them for a little bit, and I can tell them if it's the mindset or the skill set. I will tell you, Leo, that the hardest one to transform is the mindset. The skill set is the easy one. That's an easy fix. But here's the deal. Most entrepreneurs and experts think it's the skill set. So they're throwing all these things against the wall to see what's working. And in reality, it almost always primarily, it certainly is, some of it is skill set as well, don't get me wrong, but primarily it's that mindset. That's the hard part, because you can't see yourself. We all have blind spots, no matter how successful you are, no matter what a great communicator you are, believe it or not, you still have blind spots. And once those blind spots come to your awareness and you can basically transform them, whatever your income is immediately goes up. I mean, just like that. As often said, what got you here is not the same mindset that's going to get you to the next level. And so if you're making six figures now, it's let's say 250,000, it's not the same mindset that's going to get you to 1 million. And if you want to scale to 3 million, it is not the same mindset. And so I think we tend to forget that. So we always want to be able to focus, but to be aware of where's the gap.
Yes.
And you, and it's hard to find unless you have someone who can observe, who knows what to look for. Yeah. And that's why I love to do those audits.
So valuable to have an expert, someone who has already achieved what you want to do, who can give you that audit feedback. And you're right, skill sets can be learned. You can read books, you can bring in experts to teach you about marketing and sales funnels and learn how to improve upon those skills and build a better product and a better offer. But it's all for naught if you don't have the right mindset. I'm curious, in so much experience that you've got as an entrepreneur and helping others to achieve success within business, what are some of the common mindset limiting beliefs that you see that hold a lot of people back?
Okay, that's an excellent question. One of the biggest ones is the mindset around money.
Yes.
So that's a huge one. And as a result, we tend to, depending on what our mindset is around money, it's either an abundance mindset or it's a poverty mindset.
Yeah.
And most people have heard money doesn't grow on trees. You have to work hard to make money. You have to do all these things. And when it comes to money, when it comes to mindset, it's more about who do you have to be to make seven figures? Who do you have to be to make mid six figures? Who do you have to be? For example, working with a client right now, and we've identified three arenas. Number one, he needs to be courageous, he needs to be committed, and he needs to be joyful. So for him, courageous means he needs to go out, he needs to reach out and make calls, connect with people. We have no idea how many people we come into contact with. I don't care if it's in person, I don't care if it's virtually, the networking groups, the master classes, the masterminds, on and on and on it goes. And so that's number one. So here's a $1 million tip for you guys. And that is one of his strategies that I wanted him to do was to reach out to 99 people in 99 days. 99 people in 99 days. He thought it was nuts. And it's been 2 weeks and he's reached out to 30 people. And now he thinks it's fun. But it's not just a matter of reaching out. What is it that you say? Why are you reaching out? What are you going to say that feels right for you? That doesn't feel, now the way if I reached out and what I said to someone might be different than you, Leo. So what is it about him? My background is heavily in psychology. So I have degrees in clinical psychology and spiritual psychology with an emphasis in consciousness, health, and healing. So I'm very much coming from that place of science and psychology. And it has to fit the person's personality, period. When you work with someone on marketing, it has to fit their personality. You can tell an introvert to make three calls, get three speaking engagements, for example. They're going to go, and they're not going to do it. So unless it's complicated on that one. So you have to use their personality for that. So that's basically the important piece. Another huge block for mindset is self-confidence. I don't really, you know, they don't own who they are. They don't own their genius. They don't own that the service or product has merit so that they can't really talk about it. And the third one is enrollment. They feel uncomfortable asking for the sale, but there's a way to do it. So it's really about connecting with someone's vision, being able to help them see what they would love. And if you can help them, you offer them an invitation to work with you. If you can't help them, you don't offer them an invitation and you suggest someone else to work with them. The most important thing is that you open up your heart and you're very generous in being able to help that person hit their targets, hit their goals. And so that's another mindset, because many times men in particular go in with close the deal, close the deal, close the deal. It's not about closing the deal. The first few minutes of a call is already the closing of the deal, not at the end of the call.
Hmm. Wow, a lot of value bombs that Ruth just dropped with us. But starting at some of the common issues and obstacles that we have are issues when we have limiting beliefs with money. That was a very good point. You either have this abundance mindset or a scarcity mindset. And sometimes you have to identify where the scarcity comes from, maybe how you were raised, maybe some difficult challenges, and changing the way you think. And that, you know what really resonated with me was you said, oh, you have to work hard to earn your money. And there, given, right? You got to work hard, but you also, if you're strategizing, if you're building a business model, if you're leveraging a team and technology, someone might actually be working less than someone working really hard for $50,000 a year, working 65, 70 hours a week, versus someone who works 40 to 45 hours a week, has a team, has a system, has maybe some expertise, published a book, and has a lot of online credibility. That person attracts money. And right. That is a completely, you know, different setup. And right. One of the things that you also talked about is confidence. That's part of that mindset. That's part of that gap that helps you to close those deals. And when you're creating and you're trying to implement these things, maybe you're even managing a bunch of people who, you know, have the big fancy degree and you're the business owner and you don't, or you're trying to close that client who maybe seems like they're more successful than you, you have these doubts and these fears that creep in, and you're very good with helping people deal with that. How do they overcome doubts, fears, and take the next step? Is that a mindset? Is that something that you create a habit? Like, what does that look like?
It's a combination. So number one, nothing's going to change until there's an awareness of what's going on. There first needs to be an awareness. That blind spot needs to come right front and center. Yes. And you know, get the agreement from the person. And they're going to go, oh, yeah. I mean, quite honestly, Leo, I can talk to someone I've never spoken to, and in 20 minutes, they're crying. And I don't like to have people cry, but the point is I ask specific questions. And many times people will go, wow, no one's ever asked me that question. No one's ever asked me that question. Because when you hear a question, you have to think. And if you haven't been asked that question, and it's a deeper question, it's like, wow, it's very similar to Tony Robbins when he says, it's not so much the answer, it's the question. And so yes. It's about bringing that blind spot front and center. And then it's a art and a science, because you can't push someone. You have to bring them along if you want to transform their mindset. You've got to bring them along. You've got to share with them, have them share with you what are they losing by not having the mindset, an abundant financial mindset? What are they losing? What is a family, if they're family, what is a family member losing with them with that blind spot? And making it in such a fashion that you don't embarrass them, you don't make them wrong, you just bring it up, and it's now front and center. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. And then depending on who the person is, that's where the art and the science comes in. I give them homework assignments, and then I keep them accountable. I think, you know, a lot of my success is keeping my clients accountable, and they feel safe in that environment. And when you feel safe, you open up. And when you feel that you have accountability, you know, you've got to move. You know, you've got to follow up.
So true. One of my mentors used to often say, if you want to improve the quality of your life, you have to improve the quality of your questions. And that's exactly what you're teaching us right now, Ruth, is you have to start asking the right questions. And a lot of this comes down to intentionality. Like, most people live their life not actually stopping and thinking what they would like their life to look like, what they Correct. Want, their relationships, their family, their business, their health. And then all of a sudden they're 75 years old, 80 years old on their deathbed, and life has passed them by because there wasn't intentionality. They didn't take that time to look at those blind spots, to ask the right questions in order to, you know, map out a life that you want. And that's why it's so important. I feel like, you know, if you haven't watched or read books from Tony Robbins, you should. If you haven't read Ruth's books, you should, because people who have those experiences of creating the right mindset and roadmap for the life that you want, I mean, almost every problem out there probably has already got a solution for it in some expert, and getting a mentor, you know, like you is going to be very important to make that happen. Now, for some of the audience, they've been at this maybe a decade, maybe they've been at it 2 decades, Ruth, and they're not quite where they want to be. and they're feeling like they're burnt out a little bit, and they're kind of feel like maybe they're stuck. And I know you help out a lot of people who are in that situation. Where should they start?
That's a loaded question. I don't know where they're stuck. So chances are they're burnt out. Chances are they feel, they feel like it doesn't matter what they do. They're tired. They're tired.
Let's say this, Ruth. Let's say they have been stuck at a certain revenue amount.
Okay.
They people cycle in and out of the company. They don't have the continuity with their team, and they're still very much involved in the business. They haven't been able to build out the systems, processes. And they probably have some false beliefs, thinking that, you know what, I can't do it, or, you know, it's just not possible in this business or where I'm at.
So this is going to sound harsh, but
that's what they need to hear, because I've been there.
Being stuck is an excuse. It's an excuse. And excuses are based on stories. And stories are based on beliefs. You see how that goes up? Stuck, story, belief. And I'm happy that you brought up intention. I'm hugely involved in intention. In my most recent book, there's seven principles. The first principle is intention. Most people, when they wake up, there is no intention. They wake up on the same side of the bed. They do exactly the same thing, and they go through their day, and they go in the car if they're going to go in the car. Doesn't matter where they go, and it's automatic. Like, it's got to stop. It's everything needs to be, what do I want with this? What do I want from this day? I'm sure you're familiar, Leo, with Amen. He's the brain specialist, and Dr. Amen, A-M-E-N, and he does brain scans, and he knows the importance of intentionality. And every morning, whether he feels like it or not, he wakes up, he tells his wife, this is going to be a great day. Even something as small as that is starting some kind of intention to set your day. Before you go into a meeting, what's the intention? What do you want to get out of the meeting? What's the purpose for you? When you go to a networking event, when you sit down to enroll a client before you enroll them or you talk to them, when you put together a summary of what you're going to work with someone, what is the intention behind everything? And it makes us stop and pause and think. What a novel idea. Stop, pause, think.
Exactly what we need to do. Stop, pause, and think. And speaking of Daniel Amen, he's got a new book, Raising Mentally Strong Kids. And so there's this ability to manifest and take down. And what I find to be super successful, and I know you talk a lot about this, is, you know, write down what do you want to accomplish? What are the goals? What are the values and principles that you stand by? And what is it you're intentionally moving towards? And one of the things that is an absolute asset and tool for someone who's trying to build an empire, something meaningful, is to have documented what you do to be able to help people who are dealing with the problem that you solve. And what we're talking about here is the power of becoming a published author and how that can absolutely be rocket fuel for you, your business, your empire, your reach, your credibility. And I know, as a seven-time author and someone who actually helps experts and entrepreneurs and business owners who want to take that next step through authorship, what does that process look like? And why do you feel like it's such a game changer for so many business owners?
It is. Yes, it's so well said, Leo. It is definitely a game changer. The primary reason is that visibility, credibility, expertise, being able to let people know what your expertise is. It's not really about selling $15 and $20 books. It's about utilizing your book. A book is not a business card. I want to blow up when someone says that. A book is not a business card.
No.
book is something that it's going to be in the Library of Congress. It's going to have a legacy. It's going to be here longer than you're here. You want to make it a good book. You don't want to just go bloop. That's what most people do when they write their books. Out of 1,000 people, Leo, out of 1,000 people that start to write their book, 30 will complete it. 30 people will complete writing their book. Of the people that do publish their book, the majority will not sell over 100 books. Now, that's one thing. You don't sell 100 books. Big deal. If you can still monetize into a much larger game. And so a book is a legacy. It's credibility. It's a visibility. It's sharing your expertise. And quite honestly, it's sharing who you are, how you're different, your differentiator as to who you are. That's branding. And a book is one of the best marketing vehicles if you know what to do and if you know how to market it properly. And might I add also, a book, Leo, is a living entity. Once you write a book, it is alive. The words, all words have energy. Your book is energetic. It is alive. The moment you stop marketing your book, marketing is the engine of your business, the engine of your book. Your book is a business. It's not just, oh, let's put something together because I was on a masterclass and for X amount of dollars, I can have a book. No. Do not call me if that's what you want. There are plenty of people out there that are going to do that. I don't do that. You're going to be very, very proud of the book that you have when you work with me. Something that I had shared with you earlier, also a lot of really busy high achievers don't have time to write their books. So we opened up a division this year for ghostwriting. And people have always said, can you write the book? Can you write my book? And I go, no, because I couldn't figure out a way that was going to make it brilliant, because most ghostwriters, if not all ghostwriters, are writers. They're not branders. They're not marketers. They're not authors. Usually they write and they write well, but they don't know the business of it. They don't know how to put in strategy so that you can have your readers connect with you and they become clients for you or customers. And so I finally figured out a way the end of last year, and I was so excited. I literally did a happy dance and then opened up the ghostwriting this year. So I'm really, really pleased with what I figured out.
Amazing. Just so many different value bombs. And what Ruth is saying and articulating for anybody out there listening right now, who's looking to break free, looking to take their business to another level. Maybe you still have a W-2 job, but you have a level of expertise and you're looking to launch something. Maybe, you know, you have had, some success with your business and you have a new product or service and you can solve that problem by articulating it in a book, and nothing leads to expertise and credibility more than that. I remember when I wrote my book, The Business Funding Formula, as I was searching for, books out there on business finance, I couldn't find anything. And so after I had built up that business and had that expertise, I'm like, it came so quickly. And what you need is you need someone like Ruth and her team to help organize the ideas and then to help you articulate that. Because I think inside someone who is an expert, there's a book inside of you and it needs to come out. But you're right. If you don't do it in the right way, then it's not actually going to be a tool to help you grow your business. It's not going to engage and connect with your reader the way it needs to be. And if you do it the right way, oh my goodness, there have been people who have read my book and go right to my website, and they're the best clients because they already know everything that you've been through and they feel like they've been through something similar. And there's just this amazing connection. And yes. Ruth, the issue for everybody listening right now is, I know I've got that inside of me, but I need some help. What's the next step they can take today, maybe working with you and your team, to be able to look at what that might look like?
Well, here's what they want to do. And before I share that, I just want to say that when you have a book, you basically have 6 months, if not more, of social media posts. In other words, you can repurpose your book into little ebook lead generators. You can repurpose, you can take one chapter and put a module, put a program together. I do a lot of time management, productivity, and momentum. I'm putting together a completion program just from one little part of one of my books, which is 90 days. And the reason for that is because most high achievers start and stop, and they start on something and stop, and start on something and stop, or they have too many. They're overwhelmed with all the things they want to do. So, what would it look like to be able to have completion in 90 days? So you can roll it out something like that. And to answer your question, one of the first things that someone can do when they're thinking about writing a book, and when you're thinking about writing a book, I'm going to tell you, it's going to sit on your head until you write the book. It doesn't go away. The moment your spirit says it's time, that little voice, it won't go away. So here's what you can do. What are 10 to 15 things you would like your reader to get? 10 to 15 things you'd like your reader to get, and write those down. That's one of the first sessions that when I work with a client, that is the first session we work on. And by the second session, they already know so much because I've asked so many questions.
What a great question, Ruth.
Yeah. So, you know, for those of you who are thinking about it, trust me, it's not going to go away. So you might as well do it right now when you can, and pull away. And what are 10 to 15 questions? And here's another way to look at it. That is, what are 10 to 15 things you wish you knew before? What are 10 or 15 things you wish someone had told you? You wish they had told you. Okay. On the topic that you're writing about. And that'll start to get your wheels going, your juices going. And then you contact me. It's an easy process, Leo.
But that question is so, so valuable right there, because you can get, you know, overwhelmed, and how do you put everything together, and you're trying to organize chapters and sub chapters. But what you really need to do is start with the end in mind, which is exactly what you've been teaching us in a masterclass throughout this episode, is start with the end in mind. What are the 10 to 15 big takeaways you want the reader to have? And when you can answer that, well, now you know what the book needs to be about and what it needs to tell and connect back. So, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, I'd say the next step for everybody listening who want, because this is an action-taking podcast, not a podcast to be passive in, should they go to Ruth Klein, KLEIN.com, and check out some of the opportunities there? There's even an opportunity to chat with you, maybe set up a call and dig deeper. What's the next step that they can take to start after they answer that question? Now they're ready to go, but they still don't know exactly what to do. So what should they do?
Right. So a couple of things. Number one, they can go to my website, ruthklein.com, K-L-E-I-N. They'll get, I would go ahead and fill in everything. So you would get a free little ebook on some productivity tips. Okay. And then if you want a brand or a marketing audit, or even let's say you started your book, a book audit, just connect with me, chat with ruthklein.com. That'll be on my website as well, or you can just go directly there. So those are some of the things that you can do. If you're finding that you're stuck, as Leo said, at a certain level, and it doesn't seem like you can't get past it, chances are it's a mindset scenario, maybe a little skill set, but mostly mindset. And you want to have a chat with Ruth Klein. I'd be happy to help you start identifying the direction of where that stuckness might be.
Absolutely. And then with social media, Ruth, where's the best place to connect with you?
I love Instagram. It's okay. Ruth.Klein. I absolutely love Instagram. Or you can contact me on LinkedIn. It's Ruth Klein.
Gotcha. Yep. Ruth.Klein right there. She's got some cool things there. She's got her social mission there. She's got her link bio. Write it, market it, launch it right there on Instagram. Well, Ruth, it has been an amazing podcast and show. I've got some takeaways that I'm going to be working on from being present and learning from everything you've shared. And I know the audience has as well. So thank you so much for being a guest on the show.
That was fun, Leo. You asked some great questions. Great questions.
Are you looking for more seven-figure secrets, content, or even how you can launch your own recession-proof business? Then check out sevenfigures.com. That's the digit 7, F-I-G-U-R-E-S.com, where we share more videos, stories, strategies, funding solutions, entrepreneurial education, and even the secret business type that's recession-proof. Thank you for listening, and if you're finding value in our podcast, please give us a 5-star and invite others to join the club.